great Kohan Michael Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Well, you blind me with all that gold you got on. That is an awesome sight, I tell you. Everybody remember this song, Father Yahweh's Great Feast of Weeks? You remember that song that we're practicing? This is something that one of the Kahans texted me last night, so I want to share it with you. If you go in, since this is 50, right, the 50th day, if you go in and pick every 50th, starting at the beginning, if you pick every 50th word, you have peace, day, his, given, Yahweh. Which means, peace, day, his, given, Yahweh. I'll read it right to left like Hebrew. Yahweh given his day, peace. Is that awesome or what? Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. All this is about this day. Remember, today we're celebrating the 50th day. The celebration of giving the law to the children of Israel. Israel, those who rule as Yahweh will rule, right? If you keep those laws. Acts chapter 1. And, of course, the perfection of Yahweh's people. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in my first account, O brothers in Yahweh, I wrote all that Yahshua began to do and to teach until the day when he came up after he gave instruction through Spirit Holy to the apostles. Now remember, apostles are one sent, okay? Whom he had chosen. He had chosen them to do a special work, a work that would actually lead up to this last day's work, the seventh work. To whom he also showed himself alive after his suffering in the garden and on the stake by many infallible proofs appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of matters pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. Now that was his mindset. It was always toward instructing about the kingdom of Yahweh. And notice, 40 days. They were there 40 days. Now 40 is associated with trials and endurance as well. Like Moshe, he fasted 40 days before he was ready to be able to bring forth to receive the law. Yeshua Messiah fasted 40 days before he began his ministry. Well, the disciples here were getting ready as well. They were waiting so that they could receive that power that they needed to be able to understand. Now, hold your place here in Acts. Turn over to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. We're going to go back a little bit in time and take a look at Pentecost. Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, and we'll look at verse 1. Exodus 19, verse 1. This was when the law was given to the children of Israel, those who rule as Yahweh rules, okay? And you will become as Yahweh if you keep that law. Exodus 19, verse 1, it says, in the third moon after the children of Israel had left Egypt, on the very same day, that is, the first day of the third moon, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Now, this was 45 days after they had left Egypt. Remember, they left Egypt on the 15th. 15 days more would bring you to the second moon. From the second moon to the third moon is 30 days. So 30 plus 15 is 45. So this is 45 days before. Verse 2. For they had departed from Rephidim, coming to the wilderness of Sinai, where they camped in the wilderness in front of the mountain. And Moshe went up. Now this word went up, okay, that actually means to bring up or to train. You remember what Pastor taught us about bringing up, right? To train. So Moshe went up to Yahweh. Now this was the 46th day. This would be the next day. And Yahweh called to him from the mountain. He called to him. That word called means to summon or to appoint to a commission. So he set the office there for Moshe. And of course Yahweh taught Moshe through his teacher at the house of Yahweh. And he said, this is what you shall say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel. In other words, receive these instructions I'm going to give you. Skip down to verse 5. Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, and that is do what he had been instructed to do, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Remember what Yahshua Messiah said. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart needs to be, and your heart needs to have the words of Yahweh written upon it, right? The laws of Yahweh. So that's where our treasure is. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, remember now, that's given only to those who come into unity. That's what this feast is about, coming together into unity, to perfection with Yahweh, to be part of that kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Verse 7, and Moshe came and summoned all the elders of the people. This would be the next day, the 47th day of Omar. And he set before them all the words that Yahweh had commanded him to speak. Verse 8. And then all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. So Moshe brought his answer back to Yahweh. Okay, the next day, Omer the 48th. And Yahweh said to Moshe, I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and believe me forever. That thick cloud, think about it upon it as being like the unbelief and the confusion in the minds of the people without the laws of Yahweh. It's kind of like the thunder and the lightning was the, you know, the law and the sound of the proclaiming of the laws of Yahweh to the people of Yahweh. So he told them, if they will believe this law, they will believe into the one whom is sent, then they will be in unity with me and will be my people. So the promise was given if they obeyed. And Moshe reported to Yahweh what the people had said. Now, verse 10. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, go to the people and set them apart. Now, sanctify them for a purpose. Set them apart. Today, which is still the 48th day, and tomorrow, which will be the 49th day, and then wash your clothes. That is, make preparation, cleanse, purify. Not the outward appearance, but the inward appearance. Prepare yourself for righteousness, right? To learn, prepare to listen, to learn, and to believe, to be in unity with Yahweh. And let them be ready, verse 11, let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day, this is the day of Pentecost, 5 days after they left, after they arrived there, the 50 days after Egypt, this is the Feast of Weeks, then Yahweh will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. That is when Moshe came from the house of Yahweh and presented the laws to them. Now, Pentecost is a celebration of the giving of the law and the perfected people of Yahweh. Pentecost means count 50. Okay? In the Hebrew, it's Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Seven Sevens. Okay? It's a reminder of the completeness and the perfection of Yahweh's seven works. It's the harvest of complete perfection, is what you're looking at. The harvest of complete perfection. Turn back to Acts chapter 1 there. Acts chapter 1. Now, in Numbers, in the book Numbers in Scripture, this is what Bullinger says. Bullinger says that 50 is the number of jubilee or deliverance. It's the issue of 7 times 7 and points to deliverance and rest following on the result of the perfect consumption of time. Following on the perfect consumption of time. Now, if you go back here to Acts chapter 1 here, look at verse 4. And being gathered together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but said, wait on the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. Verse 5. And Yochanan truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Spirit holy not many days from now. Now remember, they didn't believe. They did not believe. If you put in your notes, Yochanan Mark 16, verses 9 through 16, and you'll see there that they didn't believe. People came to him and said Yeshua was resurrected. They didn't believe it. He sent other people. They still didn't believe it. Finally, Yeshua had to appear to them, and he rebuked them for their unbelief. Verse 6. But they needed it. Remember, they needed it. He said, wait, you will receive the power to be able to understand the law and the prophecies when Spirit Holy is given to you in order to do their job. Verse 6. So therefore, when they had come together, okay, unity, coming all together, and Yeshua taught them, you've got to be one with Yahweh, and you've got to be one with the one whom he has sent. Therefore, when they had come together, he asked them, or they asked him, saying, teacher, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Now remember that 50 is the perfect consumption of time, okay? The times and the seasons. It's the completion of Yahweh's plan. In verse 8, and you will receive power after the Spirit Holy, the power to understand the law and the prophecies has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me. You will be witnesses of me. Here's the interesting thing. That word witness And Vincent Word studies. King James says, "You shall be witnesses unto me." And Vincent Word study says, "The best texts read of me, or as Revelation says, my witnesses." My witnesses. Keep that in mind. So notice what he says here. You will be my witnesses. Okay? Both. Now that word both is very important. Both, because it shows that there's two things that it's talking about. Two divisions of commissions here. You will be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Yada and in Samaria. That's one. And to the uttermost ends of the earth. There's another commission that's given there. Now, this word uttermost, it means the last in time or place. Talk about the seventh work there. It also means the uttermost port or the end of the earth. The end of the earth. Remember, write in your notes Isaiah 49 verse 3. That's when Yahweh says that he will give Israel and he will be his salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49 verse 3. The ends of the earth. Now this word earth, it's interesting because this word earth here means country. It means a land enclosed within fixed boundaries. It means a tract of land. It means a region, and it means a territory. A territory. You remember this place? The Oklahoma and Indian Territory? This is a territory. This is a tract of land. This is a region. This is all of these things that this word means. In fact, this was called the Oklahoma Country as well, remember? Within this area right here is the unassigned land. Okay? So it's got boundaries. It's got all the things that word talks about, the word earth there. Now, Yeshua knew of his job, he knew the prophet Zechariah spoke about the work that he and the man named the branch would be doing in these last days. Turn over to Yochanan 14. Yochanan 14. Yochanan 14. He knew this, and he spoke about it. In Yochanan 14, verse 9. Now, this is when Yeshua was talking, and Philip said, "Show us the Father." And Yeshua said, "Philip, have you been with me this long that you haven't seen the Father?" You know, and he could say the same thing to us. Have we been this long with Israel Hawkins that we have not seen the Father? And hopefully no one would go that route. But he says, believe. In verse 10, he talks about believing. He says, you've got to believe. You know, you got to believe. This is the house of Yahweh. This is his work. It's nobody else's work. Either you believe that this is the work of Yahweh and you're with Yahweh's family, or you're not. Verse 11, though, here, Yochanan 14, 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of these very works. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes on me. Now, notice, this is not talking about himself. He says, he who believes on me. He's talking about other people who believe on him. So, Yeshua knew of the work in these last days that would be done. He says, by the works that I do, he will do as well, but greater works than these will he do. Because I go to my Father. Greater works than these will he do, which is exactly what we see taking place in these last days. You know, that the work has been done, and greater work has been done because of the technology and stuff that has increased. And since technology has increased, of course, the world is being able to go out and hear these things. Remember, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, the glory of this latter house, which means the western house, the last house, will be greater than the glory of the former. And in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. I will give peace. So the peaceful solution is taught, and it's only taught here. Remember what Zechariah 6:13 says about Yeshua Messiah and the branch. The council of peace will be between them both, right? It will be between them both. Now that word, he says in Yochanan 14, I'm going to give you a comforter. Okay? Let me find that. 26. Yochanan 14, 26. Okay, he says, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you another comforter. Okay? Another. That word another actually means another or someone different. But first of all, he says give. The word give means to be someone who's given administration notice. Administration to do something that is religiously observed. Okay? It means to appoint to an office and to follow him as a leader. So someone is given a certain office here. To give someone the care for his interest. Of course, the care of his interest is being able to do the work of Yahweh. And that's exactly what Yahweh has always done with his servants. He's always given them his work to do, and he has turned it over to them to do what needs to be done. Gesenius says this word means also anyone who's in charge, and to teach, and to appoint someone to an office. Okay, to appoint someone to an office. He says, I'm going to give you another comforter. That word another means different. Someone else. So he wasn't talking about himself. He's saying someone else is going to be a comforter. Thayer says, which is interesting because it says, the other of the two. The other of the two. Now, the word comforter, according to Strong's 3875, it means the one summoned or called to one side. One who is summoned and called to one side. It also means an intercessor. Now, in Isaiah 48, 12 to 13, remember, he says, Jacob and Israel, my called, when I summon them together, they will minister together. So there it is, the called and the called to one side there in Isaiah. Now, we also know where that would be, okay? Where it would be in these last days. Now, Thayer also says that that word comforter comes from the Hebrew word malak, malak, okay? Strong's Hebrew concordance says that the word malak is, that's number 4397. It means a messenger specifically of Yahweh. So a messenger that is of Yahweh, a prophet, a priest, or a teacher. Gesenius says it means one who is sent, okay? One who is sent. So this comforter here is one who is sent, okay? Where is he sent to? Now, I'm going to use the correct translations here in these verses. This is Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 and 18 and 19. He says, at Abel, Yahweh your father will send to you. That means he's sent, isn't it? One who is sent. A prophet of Yahweh like me. And notice, he names him Israel. From the midst of your own brothers, him you must listen to. And I will raise them up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, like Moshe taught the laws of Yahweh, so does Israel Hawkins. And I will put my words in his mouth at Abel, and he will tell them everything I command him. He's inspired. Whoever will not listen to my word, which he speaks in my name at Abel, I will judge him for. Well, where does judgment begin? But at the house of Yahweh. Right? At the house of Yahweh. Now, if you remember, that word meant comforter, means intercessor, right? It means intercessor. Remember what it says in Revelations 11, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lamps of the seven lampstand in the house of Yahweh who stand in intercession before Yahweh, the Father of the universe, in the restored house of Abel. That's us, brethren. That's us. We are the house of Yahweh. Remember when you say those words, we are the house of Yahweh. I am Israel Hawkins. Realize what that means. Okay? Realize what that means. Realize what it means when it says you must believe. Remember, it says, Yeshua said, this is the work that you must do. Those works will be greater in these last days, but they will be doing the same works that Yeshua did. That's what Yeshua said. And believe into the work of Yahweh, he says in Yochanan 6, verse 29, you must believe into the one who is sent. Not just in, but into. You must become a part. You must be as he is and be as Yahweh is. Okay? And that's why the pastor taught us, I am Yahweh to you, you are Yahweh to me. When we see one another, we are Yahweh to each other. So Yeshua was saying here, I will send another messenger, okay, the Malak, the one sent who is summoned and called by my side to make intercession between me and you. In other words, you're not going to get to the high priest, especially not going to Yahweh, but you're not going to even get to the high priest unless you go through the one sent. That's it. You cannot reach Yahweh without going that path. Okay? Now, here's another corrected translation. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw at Abel a priest a teacher, the one sent from Yahweh. He had great authority. Remember, Yahshua said, greater works than these you will do. He had great authority from the whole world, received the truth by Israel, who reverenced Yahweh and his laws. You see what a blessing it is? We are so blessed to be alive in these last days. To be here this day, to be able to keep this feast, is truly, truly amazing. It's just so awesome what Yahweh has in his promises. Man. Okay. Matthew 24 here. Again, this is another translation. Okay, Matthew 24, verses 13 to 14. But he who endures unto the end, the same will be saved. And this joyous message of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world from the house of Yahweh at Abel by the witness Israel, for Yahweh will be with him. Yahweh will be with him. You know, Yahweh, Pastor knows that. He knows that Yahweh is with him. He has no doubt whatsoever. He knows that Yahweh is with him. He knows that he is doing a tremendous work, you know, that he's been called out to do. And he will preach his message to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, that word end, most people think, oh, it's the end of the world, right? They don't understand what that word end means. Here it shows what the word end means. It means the limit by which a thing ceases to be. But it's always of the end of some act or state, but not the end of a period of time. In other words, something is taking place in progression that's coming to a completion is what he's talking about. Okay? It also means the last in any succession or series, like this is the seventh work of the seven works of Yahweh. It also means the end to which all things relate, the aim or the purpose. Well, the purpose, of course, is fulfilling the plan of Yahweh, being in unity with Yahweh. Continuing on here in verse 27, he says, for as the light would depart from the east, and thus revelation and truth, truth and prophecy, will come from the witness in the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. For wherever those who worship Yahweh, and, notice that word and, that's a small word, but it's a very important word. It's a conjunction. It ties together what's in front, what's behind. For whoever will worship Yahweh and reverence the one he will send, or they are the righteous, will be gathered together in unity. In unity. That is coming together. That's what this feast day is about. Coming together in unity. Coming to the perfection. Becoming the goal that Yahweh wants, that perfection. Okay? Remember this, where these words are peace, day, his, given in Yahweh, or Yahweh has given his day peace. The peace. We receive that peace by Israel Hawkins, Yahweh's last days anointing. He is the intercession. He's interceding between us and Yahweh. He is our comforter. He is the Moloch of Yahweh, the seventh Moloch of Yahweh, the seventh work, the era of perfection, remember. No other era has been given this duty and command to believe without seeing. But it's because of that that Yahweh will allow us to become shining like gold, right? Like this song represents. The gathering together on this feast day. Gathering these last days' harvest through this seventh work. The only work on the face of this earth. Because any work that Yahweh has to come through the prophecies. And this is the only prophesied work. And the world can't understand that. But Yahweh has given us the understanding. He's given us the knowledge to be able to comprehend that. And he's given us this comforter. We're going through tribulation and we'll go through rough times. But praise Yahweh, he has given us this comforter to comfort us through that time. And the great thing is he's going to bring us to unity. We're all coming together to be brought together into unity. And be prepared to be that fine gold. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, everyone, please stand. I'll turn it over to the great Kahan Zephaniah.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have several news stories today, all showing prophecy being fulfilled. We're going to start with the IRS targeting conservative groups and not liberal groups, which really just shows you will not have freedom cannot be guaranteed without character education. And when you see the government doing these secret activities, you're really seeing what the Catholic Church is up to behind the scenes, and every now and then it bubbles to the top. They also, the FBI secretly seized phone records from 100 reporters, and this was also involved the Justice Department. And it's what's interesting about this is the same ones that are going to investigate the IRS also over-investigated AP. So all of these people are basically the same. And then we have, they have harassment in the military with the men harassing the women. And what's ironic about this story is that this very organization that is suffering this problem with the men harassing the women is killing people who would have their women wear veils. So it would be ironic if the military could solve its problem by putting its women soldiers in veils. But that's basically what their problem is caused by unlawful lust. They're not going to solve that problem until they start teaching against that. And then we also have a 12-year-old who murdered his 8-year-old sister, and he said an intruder did it. And this story looks a little suspicious to me, but anyway, you can watch it for yourself. And then we also had the Pope, CBS News showing the Pope, how he looks like St. Francis, because it shows St. Francis releasing a dove or holding a dove, and then it shows the Pope releasing a dove. It's just a 20-second fluff piece, positive on the Pope, and if you're out there, you know who the media is. You have to ask yourself, why does the media like this Pope? And then the last video we have is a raw video from YouTube. It doesn't really have any commentary, but when Israel attacked Syria a few weeks ago, that generated this. Russia then talked about the sale of the SA-300 advanced anti-aircraft missile to Syria, which was a huge sale, I mean, in terms of what it means. But I saw the video on this blast, and it did not contain the whole thing. We have the whole thing from YouTube, and we don't have a commentator. We don't really know what it is, but it really looks like a nuclear weapon. And Putin called Israel, and he said in this phone call that they would not tolerate any more attacks on Syria by anyone, the United States or Israel. But watch this bomb and see if you think it's not a nuclear weapon. So let's play the video. I think, as everyone could see, that was a nuclear bomb. But they're not reporting it because of the significance of Israel actually dropping a nuke. So would everyone please stand? The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Praise Yahweh!
Woo, look at this!
Oh, this is beautiful, beautiful! Okay, let's go on. You may be seated. Oh, what a wonderful day. Wonderful day. You can see what kind of mess the world is getting in. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You're going to know more about what I said before too many more sermons. The Pope just solved the problems there. He released the dove, the white dove. That should take care of it right there. Won't have any more rapes in the army. Won't have any more stealing from the banks. No more foreclosures. Rest. You can enter Yahweh's rest. You'll know what that means too one of these days shortly. Everybody's looking super. I hope you got a picture of this. You got it? Okay. Everyone. Boy, this is really great. Releasing that dove, he thinks that Vatican somewhere back in there must be the Noah's Ark, and he's trying to find a dry place. I heard it was pretty nasty back there, pretty wet and slimy in that particular place. I tell you one thing it helped now. You know, dove season is just a little ways off. I heard that our boys was getting their shotguns ready, and then they had smiles on their face and everything, looking forward to the dove hunt, and then they all went to crying and weeping, and I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "Didn't you see that motorhome come through the gate?" You didn't get that. The trouble with Okey jokes, first off, you got to know, you know, the history of them, and you got to keep up and remember everything that's told about them, and all, you know, the motorhome that went turkey hunting. Remember that? And so now the dove, you know. Well, anyway, I think if you turn over to 2 Corinthians, that's where we left off last week, and I was in hopes of getting through what I'm going to bring today and bring the last part on Pentecost, but then I think it'll probably be this Sabbath before I'll get to bring the rest of it. But be turning over to 2 Corinthians 6. That's where we left off in the sermon, showing that Yahweh is separating his people from the world. And the prop that we have set up here, it starts with Abel's tent on the north, and then you swing to the west, and the first thing you'll see is how we farmed the land, how we traveled with the horses, pulling wagons or buggies, whatever, and that went on for almost 6,000 years. It was still going on when I was born in 1934. I walked behind mules and horses holding a plow. By the way, someone brought us I think it's the great Kohan Toby brought us, found a wooden plow. Now, that's very interesting. I didn't think I'd ever see one again because I figured they'd be long gone by now. But that's the way they did their plowing, with a wooden plow, not iron. And then it went from the wood to the iron. But we have one down there that you can see, pulled by a donkey or an ox, or they used oxen a lot back in Yakishka's day. And Eliyah's day, Eliyah and his school of the prophets, that's what they raised their food with. And then it lasted till our time period, when Yahweh said knowledge, that he would increase the knowledge. Knowledge would be increased. And he gave you a time period for it. That time period was where he looked and saw two others, two witnesses. Well, that was the time period that the knowledge would be increased, he said. And we've seen that increase of knowledge in my lifetime. And now, of course, the plow, the horse plow, plows pulled by horses is obsolete. And the tractors, the gasoline tractors, took over. And from what I understand now, they have tractors that's computer controlled, where they don't even have to have a driver, and the man can sit in his office and run the computer and plow a field and never have to leave his office. And I doubt if that one is going to last long, but anyway, they plow some big fields today with tractors, but that's the change. And then Abel's tent, that's mine down there, the last Abel. First Abel is up here on this end. And then the last Abel is the covered wagon. I still don't know if I was born in it or by the side of it or under it. I just know that that it was there. And that wagon there dates back to my time period, too. I believe it was, it's about 100 years old, something like that, and still operational. They made them to last. That wooden plow, too, it's there for you to see. But then we move on over a little bit, and you see a ballistic missile getting ready to take off. And of course, this is what they used, according to what we've learned right now, against Syria was a tactical nuclear bomb. And of course, Putin made the statement that you do it again and Russia will intervene. So we can see about, you know, that the people are, the nations are angry. Of course, your judgment has come, chapter 10 of Revelations, and the time when we have to take this message to all the world. We're getting pictures ready to go to Associated Press, and of course, it looks like they're trying to stop the news from going out, too. Every organization seemed like is under scrutiny right now. The banks, the loan companies, the IRS, the army, the armed forces, and the one they put in charge of the preventing the rapes, he's now filed on for molesting. So you know, we put the fox in charge of the chicken house, but the world is full of foxes and they're everywhere throughout the world today, and all of them have guns. We have a ballistic missile down there. We're fixing to fire. You see the smoke coming from it. Anyway, the story is going out to all the news, and we're hoping they will run it. The last one we put out, which was just before the feast, from what I understand, there was over 5,000 news agencies actually picked that story up and ran it for us. So it is getting interesting, and with these props that we have set up, it really displays it. It puts it in your mind, similar to what Yakishka put in the minds of our forefathers thousands of years ago. I want to study that with you just a little today. If I don't get started, we won't have much time. But now, at 3:30 this afternoon, ancient lady who knows how to milk goats will teach all you women and children how to milk goats. Down here at Abel's tent, and then at 6:30 in the morning for you men and boys who get up early enough, we'll have a man down there teaching you how to milk goats, and might give you a drink of the milk if you want it. I don't know what they've got set up, but it's a pretty elaborate thing here, showing you where milk comes from and how Yahweh designed the goat and the cow to eat green grass and yellow corn and dead brown hay and make you beautiful white milk. Now that is some process. Cream and butter. And don't forget to take your cream and butter with you. Milk and butter and eggs and something else. I forgot. Milk, eggs, butter.
Cheese.
What?
Cheese.
Beans.
Jeez.
Oh, no, cheese, yeah, cheese. Don't forget to take it with you, and don't forget to take these cards with you when you leave, those who are leaving today. I wouldn't just pass these out on the streets or put them in under windshields. We don't get much help there in that manner unless you know that it's a judge or a lawyer, forget about them heisters. judges, sheriffs, or people in office, politicians. We're getting our best help from the leaders. So find your leaders, school superintendent, school teachers, tell them to give it to the superintendent. Educational ministers of your state, definitely the leaders, all your leaders, if you can get these in the leaders in your surrounding area, these cards, we will get response from them. We have already, and we anticipate this picking up and going to all the world, and of course we're sending it out to others too. Those in another land, we have several here from other nations today. Those from another nation, take a handful of these cards with you, and I think we have them by the offering boxes. Is that right? They will be by the offering boxes, right? Okay. Okay, when you get ready to leave, they'll be by the offering boxes. If not, holler or scream something. We'll get it to you. Call the office. Start to say, get a gun. No, don't get a gun. don't turn any white doves loose in here either. We don't want that to... We're not, we've already, the ark settled and it's already burned up with firewood. Abel built a library out of it that lasted for thousands of years. They were going there for answers. It's all gone, Pope. You can come on out to dry. The land is dry. In 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, we left off there with verse 17 when I spoke last. Verse 17, which says, "Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate," says Yahweh. "Do not touch the unclean thing." If you'll hold your place there and look over to Revelations, where it's speaking, Revelations 18. In Revelation 17, he's speaking of the religion that sits on seven hills that is judging the kings of the earth. That's all in Revelation 17. Shows you it's a city that sits on seven hills. This is the great whore that is judging the kings of the earth today. That's their high priest. Their high priest that sits as judge over the kings of the earth. He just released, one of them did. He just released a white dove. He's the little horn today. The little horn, the reason that word little in Daniel, it means worthless. And releasing a white dove, that's like sending a ballistic missile to Syria with an olive leaf painted on it. That makes just about as much sense. And that's what they're doing. They're releasing a white dove, and they're also releasing ballistic missiles, getting ready to destroy the earth with their way of thinking. And Yahweh says in chapter 18 and verse 5, speaking of this same system here, this same group that's waging war and intends to wage nuclear war and depopulate the earth by four-fifths. In verse 4, Revelation 18, verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins," these are sins, "have reached into the heavens." Well, and Yahweh is, of course, he gives the judgment in Yekiska, and all the prophets warned Israel of what they were doing and what they were bringing upon the earth and how it was going to get worse. And of course, in this time period, he shows showed how Jerusalem, Israel, would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed by our forefathers, Then they would move their religions to Rome, and they would continue to rule the world or defile the world, bring abominations to the world. And Yahweh is saying to us here in Revelations and also 2 Corinthians now, he's saying, come out from among them and be separate. And verse 18 says, I will be your father if you will do this. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh. This is Yahweh, of course, speaking to his house. No one else is going to come out of this world. It's his house only that is coming out of the world and coming out of the uncleanness. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, if you think what the world is teaching about spirit here, you could probably think right now this is all wrong, and you can see the stupidity in their teaching of the Holy Ghost. Casper, that's the name Casper, I think, now from Hollywood, and we've got to take some soap and wash it and get it clean. And this is about their way of thinking and how scriptural illiterate they are when it comes to cleansing the spirit. Well, I can tell you now, if you can cleanse that spirit, which is, I'm going to show you how, and have been showing you for years, but you're on the right track. I'll just show you what you're going to gain from it. Praise Yahweh. But cleansing the spirit is getting you ready. It didn't get anyone else ready at all, but it's going to get you ready to raise the dead, which is coming very shortly now. It won't be very long until you're going to receive this power and be able to raise the dead, and of course have authority given. I could just erase everything you got in your mind on spirit, because it's just full of fallacies and stupidity, ignorance. But we'll see it now. And I don't think I could have brought this sermon a few years ago. You wouldn't have understood it. But with everything that you know now, you will understand it now. But cleanse the flesh and the spirit, perfecting then this holiness. And this is part of it is believing without seeing. That's part of perfecting the holiness. Believing, coming to unity without seeing. This is so beautiful when you get all the scriptures that go with this and get them in line, and you can see then what he's talking about, and we will come back to that portion right there in later on, probably by Sabbath, we'll come back to it. Word uncleanness here, it actually does mean uncleanness. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 21, I believe it is. If you look at verse 20 above, you can see the words jealousy, contentions. All of that is being ironed out here with this. What did I do with it? I bet I left it. Here it is. With this, what one of my children wrote me, that, there you go, attitude of servitude, attitude of servitude. Now that's what, that's Yahweh's way. That's what Yahshua showed you on the night that he was killed. He became a slave to his disciples, washed their feet, fed them and washed their feet. And he says to you that he's going to come out and serve you very soon. So this was not a one-time thing. This man is a servant, and that's what he wants out of you. And of course, your body is filled with servants. If you remember all, and I'm asking you to remember. If you can't remember, go back and get the tapes on the real cause of global warming. That's where I brought out the most information on microorganisms and the kingdoms of microorganisms. But if you notice verse 21 there now, he says, and that when I come again, my Father may humble me before you, and I will mourn, for many who have sinned previously and have not repented of the uncleanness. So the uncleanness he's talking about here is sin. That's what you have to repent of, sin. So uncleanness is still a sin here now in book 2, or what the world calls the New Testament. It's still sin, uncleanness. And then you have the sexual impurities, which the Catholic Church has brought down from the days of from out of Egypt, making themselves like the gods of Genesis 3:5. Do these sins and you'll be like the gods and you'll live forever. You'll have a eternal ghost within you, and that ghost will go on living somewhere. They say he's made up of some kind of gas, a gassy god, so you'll be a gassy god somewhere floating around in the sky. I don't know if I'd want to be something like that, even if it lived forever. I'd rather be the way Yahweh made me, in the body that he made me, so you can enjoy life, right? The uncleanness, sexual impurities, and lasciviousness, which is they made a license to sin, which they have practiced. Now, of course, this are some of the things you must cleanse yourself of. If you look over to the Savior's writings now in Matthew 23, Matthew 23 and verse 27. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres. Now, he's speaking of the same thing here, cleansing yourself of physically and cleansing your spirit. That's on page 751, chapter 23, verse 27. And he's speaking to our forefathers. Jeremiah spoke to our forefathers when he said, he talked about all these sexual sins that brought into the temple. They'd taken it over. The violent men had taken it over. Yekishka's day too. And of course, Jerusalem, Yekishka prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and it was. But Yahweh brought it back for the Savior, in order to bring his Savior, Yahshua Messiah. In order to bring that prophecy about, he brought back Jerusalem and the temple, called Herod's temple at that time. And here now, he says, verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly. And you notice how beautiful the Pope looked? I didn't see him, but somebody said he was dressed in gold or white, or gold and white. And let the dove loose. That he really looked sanctimonious there in that that scene. appears beautiful outwardly. He's describing the seven hills of Rome. What goes on inside the seven hills of Rome right now? And the same children, their fathers ruled the temple ruthlessly, violently, took the temple and ruled it. And he says, appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And here you get that uncleanness again, inside. You're unclean inside. If you remember Isaiah, we may as well read that, Isaiah 65. Here was the forefathers before they destroyed the temple and moved to Rome. And if you don't know about that and don't know about that it was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians that actually sent their Roman army, which they owned, Titus was his name. All you got to do is look up Titus, and it'll show you how he came, moved all the artifacts to Rome, and destroyed the temple and plowed Zion like a field. Well, here in Isaiah 65 now, we see that he's speaking of our same forefathers here. Verse 4 shows they're keeping memorials to the dead, and the broth of abominable things is in their blood vessels. And verse 7 says, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together. Your fathers and yours too. So it's just the same religion coming right on down the line, the same system that is led by and considered worthless. That's worthless, like releasing a white dove, is worthless. Or sending a bomb with an olive branch painted on it. It's worthless as far as salvation is concerned. It's great for destruction, great for starting wars, great for starting this nuclear war that we're expecting, too. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says Yahweh, who have burned incense upon the mountains. That's their promoted, their promotions of their faith, their religion. Same thing as Isaiah 2, where he says, in the last days I will establish my house in the chief of the mountains. Same thing. The promotion of my house will be established in the chief of the nations. And blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore I will measure their former works together into their bosom, into the system that they have created themselves, called Nimrod, rebellion. And chapter 66 and verse 17 says, "They who sanctify themselves, get this. That it's not Yahweh sanctifying these people. They sanctify themselves. They set themselves apart for a job, for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, is inspired by Satan, as Yahweh shows. We'll see more on that. But she, as Yahshua said in chapter, in Matthew 8, 44, I believe it is, he says, your teacher is Satan the devil, and what she tells you to do, you're going to do. So what they're doing right now is what Satan inspired Eve to do in the beginning, and that is rebel. Then in chapter 10 of Genesis, we see the system was actually created to bring forth the schools of higher learning and, of course, governments to rule the people. Well, here, they who sanctify themselves, not following the priest of Yahweh, but another system, In the gardens, following after the priest who eats swine's flesh, the Catholic Church, yes, teaches you can eat swine's flesh, so does all Christianity. So they're following the priest that eats swine's flesh. That's the ones that Yahshua was talking to, that says, you appear beautiful on the outside, but inside is the broth of all of this abominable things that you're putting in your body, both through your mind and your acts, your activities. Okay, that is what the spirit now. This is the spirit they're following. Let's go to Yukishka now, because Yukishka was a man that was set aside by Yahweh to warn Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, as to what they were doing and what it was going to bring, and he prophesied this to them. Go to Yukishka 1 and verse 1. He prophesied to them. Of course, they bound him in ropes. They tried to shut his mouth. They didn't want to kill him because the people knew he was a prophet, and they knew that they were going to have big-time troubles on their hand if they killed him. That's the only reason they didn't kill him. And of course, that's what they did. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? Well, they're still persecuting them, the same system, and it still has their ways of persecution. Their ways of persecution is called democracy today, and the same as it was back then, the Roman Empire, that's what it was. It was democracy. It taught democracy. They had the same police forces. They had the same senates and governors and so forth that we have today in America. We're based on that. It's the same system right here in America. But they also have states set up to where they can keep out what they refer to as heathen, witchcraft, and so forth. They do that in the eyes of the people by propaganda, so they can destroy that work, hopefully by words, before they try to kill the person. They got to get the people hating the person, and then they won't have any trouble like they would have had with Yekishka or with Yochanan. Herod was afraid to kill Yochanan. He wanted to, but he was afraid to, because the people knew that he was a prophet, and they would have had an uprising on their hands at that time. And when an uprising started, it grew, and more people ran to it. It was like rushing to war. And when this started, and they didn't want that on their hands. But look now at Yekishka 1 and verse 1. It began, this was 5905 B.C., 595 B.C.E. It began in the 30th year, in the fourth moon, on the fifth day of the moon, as I was among the captives. Now, Yekishka was taken captive, of course, by his own people, by the 12 tribes. I've explained this many times, but they wanted a king. Well, the other person down the road wanted a king to fight their battles. This was what they brought to Samuel and said, we don't want Yahweh ruling over us. We want a king to fight our battles for us. Well, of course, the next group, they elected them a king. And then another one and another one and another one. And, of course, at the last year in Yekishka's day, we had Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And of course, Rehoboam had three tribes, and the rest went to Jeroboam. Well, they were fighting amongst each other. and of course, that was what was taking place here. And Yahweh says, it's going to get worse now. This is going to get worse. The route that you are taking is going to get much worse than it is now. Then he went to telling about another group at the end, where Yahweh would pull out from among these warring tribes and say, separate yourselves and come to me, be separate, and I'll be your father. And that's us he's speaking to in this time period, same group of people, same family of people that he was dealing with when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Well, he says, it all took place when I was among the captive of the river Chebar. The heavens were opened. When they took a group like they did Yekishka, they had their roving army. That's where the Roman army came from, got its name. They were a roving army. They don't know where they came from. They just came over the mountains from somewhere. Lie. Anyway, they had their roving army. Before that, they had their spies go out mapping the land. And when they found a community which people were trying to live as a community, and they would find a place to hide, that was what I thought was so neat about the interviews that we had. We had some Hmong people, and the history of the Hmong people was they were kicked out. They were just pushed out. They left the so-called civilization barefooted. But they walked, and they found them a place, and they hid for a while. Well, of course, this is the practice that went on in Israel. But then the people went to leave in Israel, and they would move out and start a community, and they would try to build them a police force to protect themselves, but the Roman army was the strongest. And the way they became strong was just like Yakiska here. When they took him, he was among the other captives. No telling how many captives they took. And they took them to Babylon, and they said, you have these places right here where you can dwell. You can settle these places, and they gave them choices. Well, that's when they started trying to make them satisfied in staying in Babylon. So the place that this group chose was along the great river there, Chebar. The river, the captives by the river Chebar, where they set up a homestead and started farming and working for the city of Babylon, or this great empire the fourth empire that eventually came strong enough to rule the earth, but not to hold it. They took it, they won the battles, but they never did win the war. And of course, the uprisings came, and they kept coming. Every time someone would start a rumor about the Saturday being the Sabbath and not Sunday, we had another fight coming, brewing on our hand. Every time the IRS tried to cheat, they had another fight coming. Every time the news media reported something, they went in and they got AP and they got all their records. Yeah, that. Just imagine the newspaper headlines back then. They'd be the same as they are today. Exactly. If you could get the headlines, the paper. Somebody brought me a bunch of newspapers that was dated, the Oklahoma newspapers, and I'm anxious to go through them, but it looked like you'd be reading a modern paper today. The fights, the troubles was the same as they are now, but these dated back to before I was born. They're over 70 years old, some of them. Well, anyway, back to this. Now, and he says, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions from heaven. If you look on over to chapter 3 now, chapter 3 and verse 27, he says, but when I speak with you, this is Yahweh speaking to Yakiska, and he warns him before this, you know, he says, I'm going to send you out to warn these people, your brothers, the 12 tribes, warn them of what they're doing, and they're going to try to shut your mouth. And he says, don't be concerned whether they convert or don't convert. That makes no difference. Just tell them what I tell you. Tell them what I tell you to tell them. So he says here, but when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, this is what Yahweh says. He who listens, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious, disobedient house. Now remember this when we get, remember they're disobedient. And that's what the Catholic Church is. The Catholic Church is the family that Yahweh brought out of Egypt. They're filled with Korites, with the crews that rose up against Moshe, with every evil thing. They were responsible for that, and they come right on down today, the children of children of children, and following the same pattern, every one of them. In chapter 37 now of Yakiska, we'll skip a bunch. It's a great book to read, but it makes no sense absolutely until you learn the rest of the scriptures and you know what Yakiska then is talking about and what the apostles talk about when they refer to the prophet's writings, even though they don't say it, but you can see they're referring to what the prophets wrote before them. That is, Yahweh is referring to it. Probably the prophets might not even known that the prophets had said this, and Yahweh inspired the apostles to write something. But by knowing what both of them wrote, then you can see and put it together. this way. And this is the only way you're ever going to understand what spirit means. And cleansing the spirit. Washing your spirit. You don't do it with soap and water. And in Yukishka 37, and let's look at verse 16. 37:16. Also, son of man, take one stick. Well, he's building a prop. And if you notice this and remember what we're doing right down here right now, it really puts together something in the mind that you can see. It's like seeing the movie Gone with the Wind or the Dust Bowl. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you unless you know Yahweh's plan for the last days and know that Yahweh was going to create a work at the ends of the earth from in the ends of the earth. Well, what does the ends of the earth mean? Get the fast sermons. We got it in the books of Israel and so forth. If you don't know what the ends of the earth mean. But all of these things put together then paint Yahweh's plan. It shows you this plan, perfect plan, but just bits and pieces here and there throughout the Holy Scriptures. Well, back to this now, verse 16. He says, son of man, take one stick and write upon it for Yada and for the children of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write upon it for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and all of the house of Israel associated with him. In 17, join them together into one stick. So they will become one in your hand. Now, what Yukishka was expected to do and what he did, you know, he actually built a prop for the people to see. And they were watching Yukishka because they knew there was a prophecy coming with this. So they were watching Yukishka do this, and so that he would place it in their mind so they wouldn't forget. And then later when it came to pass, then Yukishka kept saying, then you'll know that it was Yahweh that taught you this, that said this. And he says it over and over throughout the Holy Scripture. Then you will know that I'm sent by Yahweh and am teaching you this thing. So he said then, join, verse 17, join them together unto one stick, so they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? Say to them, this is what Father Yahweh says. Behold, I will take the stick of Yosef, which is in the hand of Ephraim. Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh now is given to the history of them, the prophecy of them, given they're going to become a great nation here. Hand of Ephraim with the tribes of Israel associated with him, and will put them with it, with the stick of Yada, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. That is verse 19. Let's go over to Yukishka. Just remember what Yukishka shows in chapter 3, that he would be persecuted, and Yahweh said he would be persecuted. Now look back to Yukishka, the fourth chapter. Yukishka 4, and notice verse 17 here. No, let's go to 1, verse 1. We've got to go to 1. I'm out of time, but let me just cover this part, and then we'll quit. But in chapter 4 and verse 1, also, son of man, take a clay towel, lay it in front of you, and engrave on it a city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Lay siege to it. Build a siege wall against it. Heap a ramp against it. Set army camps against it, and place battering rams against it on all sides. Also, take for yourself an iron plate, set it as an iron wall between you and the city. Set the face against it, and it will be besieged with you, besieging it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. And today, of course, it's a sign to USA, America, the whole world. He says, verse 4, also lie down on your side, on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, for the number of the days that you will be upon your upon you will bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390. So you will bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, you will lay down a second time on your right side. Then you will bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed you each day for a year. You will set your face on the siege of Jerusalem, and with your arm uncovered, you will prophesy against it. And behold, I will put ropes upon you so that you will not turn from one side to another until you have ended the days of your siege. Also, take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, spelt. Mix them into one bowl and make bread from them for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, you will eat it. And food which you eat will be by weight 20 shekels per day, about 8 ounces. From time to time, you will eat it. You will also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hen, 2/3 of a quart. From time to time, you will drink it. Now he's showing what will take place in Jerusalem here, putting it in their minds, letting them see what they're going to go through. And you will eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of human dung in their sight. Then Yahweh said, so will the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the heathen, where I will drive them. Then I said, Yahweh, my father, truly I have never defiled myself from my youth even till now. I have never eaten of that which died of itself, or that which was torn by beast, nor has abominable meat ever entered my mouth. Now, when he's saying, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and Yukishka is naming you some things right here that the news media is saying is going into the food right now. So Yukishka apparently knew about this in his day, and it's the same in his day. Meat torn by animals was being used, meat dying of itself. They have laws actually allowing certain cows that should never be eaten, certain beef. Pigs, of course, is legal to eat in this land. So is horses. That is to be sold in the open markets. All kinds of unclean food. Well, those unclean foods were according to Yukishka, and he said he wouldn't eat them, so it means they were there. Nor has abominable meat, Leviticus 11, Isaiah 66, following the priest who eats swine's flesh. Abominable meat. Pork is abominable meat, spoken of in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. These have never entered my mouth. Then he said to me, behold, I have given you cow's dung instead of human dung. You will prepare your bread over that. He said to me, son of man, truly I will cut off the supply of bread from Jerusalem. They will eat bread by weight and in anxiety,
and drink water by measure, and in desolation. So they will lack bread and water, one with another. They will be dismayed, beaten down, and they will consume away in their iniquity. This is not just in the days of Yekishka. This is speaking right now. Let me cover just a little bit more here in chapter 14 of Yekishka, because I want you to see this is speaking of us. In chapter 14 of Yekishka, and remember what he's saying here. He's going to be measured out to you. The food is going to be controlled, they say, to this world. No one noticed the sign, I know. They all looked to the left to see the ballistic missile. I think Yahweh did that. I was working down there last night in the rain, trying to figure out where to put that sign, and we put it to where nobody could see it, I think. And I asked several people as they came through the gate, I said, "What was the first thing you saw?" And they said, "The ballistic missile." And I said, "You didn't see the sign on the right as you came through the gate, as you entered the gate of the house of Yahweh, the campgrounds?" "No, didn't see it." "Well, did anyone see that?" "Not very many. Not very many. Couldn't see it for the ballistic missile." And the ballistic missile was way on up here. "Well, you'll look for it now, right?" It's your protection. Well, anyway, here in chapter 14 now of Yekishka, and if you look at verse 13, he says, "Son of man, when the sins of the earth have reached their peak." Well, we're at that point right now. The sins of the earth have reached their peak. Well, we're about to explode with nuclear war. And all the nations know this, all the leaders know this, and they're saying it's not a matter of if, but when, that this is going to take place. And it could go at any time. "Son of man, when the sins of the earth have reached their peak." Yeshua showed that, just as the days of Noah, where it couldn't be stood any longer. They would never subject themselves to Yahweh, because they couldn't see the sign on the right that's looking at the ballistic missile on the left. I do believe that was inspired. "They reached their peak, their full measure. Will stretch out. I will stretch out my hands against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and send famine." That's all prophesied to by the other prophets, including Revelations. "Famine upon it, and cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Eob, were in it, they would not deliver only they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness." And notice, it's by their righteousness that they will deliver themselves. You can't get through on somebody else's righteousness. You're going to have to do what we tell you to do. Cleanse yourself. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians again now. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians. Here we go. 7 and verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh," including all that I've just named, "all filthiness of the flesh." You can't do that, brethren, and go out into this world. You just can't do it. You just, you know, you mix with kinfolks, and the kinfolks are unclean, and of course you become unclean, and Yahweh is wanting you clean. But he's wanting you, your spirit, to be clean too. And this is what he's telling you with the word spirit here, as I'll prove later, that your spirit must be in agreement, in unity with Yahweh's spirit. But I know you don't understand spirit yet, because I've never explained it.
and you couldn't have understood it on your own. There's no way you could. I know you couldn't. But you'll see it, hopefully, this Sabbath. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us get to work on ourselves, is what he's saying here. Let us get to work on yourselves. Repent, of course. That's the first thing you need to do. Get your mind off of taking part in this world. Do your best to keep yourself clean, and you know how to become clean now. If you do become unclean, then do exactly what Yahweh tells you in his laws and become clean as fast as possible before your life may be snuffed away. Cleanse yourselves. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. That's abominations, abominable filthiness that's passed on to others. Filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting this holiness. Well, that's what we're told to do, is become perfect, and we'll see more thoroughly Sabbath, or if I get time to speak before then, before then. The women are going to be going out here to Abel's tent to take some pictures rapidly while food is being prepared also and the table's being prepared. Then we will have a community meal together. I look forward to this community meal. Great things could take place here today. Don't miss it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!